This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, in defense of the Neanderthal, our Pleistocene cousins have long been cast as grunting cavemen. We'll hear from a science writer who shares some new research that suggests that Neanderthals were far more cognitively complex. And some 50,000 years later, a Field and Stream magazine editor shares his often messy, sometimes inedible attempts at becoming a suburban hunter-gatherer. But we begin with the terminally unique nature of student loan debt, which at more than $1 trillion has surpassed credit card, auto loan, and household debt in America combined. Unless Congress acts, interest rates on subsidized student loans will double on July the 1st. Republicans and Democrats in Washington have each submitted proposals to keep rates low, but have yet to reach resolution. We've heard an awful lot about what this level of debt means to college graduates, to dropouts, and to families. So we're going to dig a little deeper into the loan part. What students and families contract for looks, feels, and sounds like a loan, but doesn't fine print like a loan. David Dayan is a freelance writer and contributor to Salon, where we found his article, "Your Student Loan Isn't Really a Loan." David, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So before you explain the title, walk us through the safeguards behind most loans that are commercially available in the U.S., you know, an auto or credit or mortgage loan.
Sure. When you're talking about unsecured debt, that is, there's no collateral standing behind it, like a mortgage. If you default on the loan, they repossess the house, or same with an auto loan. But in unsecured debt, like credit cards or other types of unsecured debt, you can discharge them by and large in bankruptcy. It's sort of an established principle that we have that if people get into trouble, they can make a second chance, get a fresh start. There are also opportunities for debt consolidation, for refinancing, and all sorts of ways that if, you know, people get into a certain amount of financial trouble, they can at least use those instruments to get themselves out of it.
So how do student loans differ?
Student loans usually are almost impossible to refinance. They are open to debt collection, which are these private debt collectors that call you at all hours of the night looking for money. And most loans, there's a statute of limitations on how long private debt collectors can actually try to collect from you. But with student loans, there's no statute of limitations. Because it's a government loan, in many cases, your wages can be garnished, your tax refunds can be garnished, even your Social Security payments, if it goes that long, can be garnished to recapture student loan debt. The biggest thing is that student loans are basically not dischargeable in the bankruptcy process, and almost every other type of loan is.
So why are they so different? What is the history behind this?
It's sort of been a stumbling process where Congress has periodically gone in, you know, hyped up by things like stories about med students who, the day that they graduate, they declare bankruptcy and get rid of their student loan debt. This was back in the 1970s. There was a lot of talk about this. So Congress put in a process that first said, all right, you have to wait 5 years before declaring bankruptcy to allow your student loans to be discharged. Then they raised that to 7 years, and then they just got rid of that restriction at all. So the only way to discharge your student loan debt in bankruptcy is if you claim undue hardship. And this undue hardship burden is extremely, it's a huge chore to actually declare that. You basically have to say that you're almost incapacitated, that you're unable to earn any income in order to get those loans discharged. That's just something that doesn't come along very often.
I'm recalling some legislation against the predatory practices of for-profit colleges. Can you explain that to us?
This is a huge issue that for-profit colleges, a lot of your delinquency in student loan debt is coming out of students who matriculated at for-profit colleges. They basically don't give you the sort of career preparedness or the skills once you get out of their university. So Congress put in, or actually the administration, Department of Education, put in a law that said in order to have those for-profit colleges be eligible for student aid, they would have to have a certain amount of gainful employment out of their students that graduate, and they would have to just show a various set of standards. Now, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals actually overturned that rule. They said it was arbitrary. So Congress is going to have to step in if we do want to crack down on these diploma mills that are not preparing students for the future and just basically making money off of these subsidized student loans and being predatory on the students that they give no benefit to.
David Dayan, any similar legislation for the general population at large of students who take out government loans to get themselves through colleges, public colleges?
Kind of the problem. Every year now, it seems, we hear about this debate about the student loan interest rate and whether it's going to double and what level we should put that interest rate for federally subsidized student loans. One of the reasons I wrote the article is that it's so much bigger than that. There are all these very burdensome laws around student loans that make it a much more burdensome financial product than most other types. And we need a broader discussion. And the biggest discussion we need is to reduce the need for all these student loans by making college more affordable and by giving very cheap options, whether it's community colleges or some other new type of process, for people to get a quality, affordable education that actually prepares them for something rather than just trades off the ability to capture student loan money from the federal government and then gives the students basically nothing in terms of a benefit.
Just another big picture glimpse here. You mentioned that economists think, you know, this actually hurts our economy. Who else is being affected by those carrying student loans?
If it's hurting the economy, it affects all of us. If students, college graduates, are deferring home purchases, auto purchases, all these major consumer purchases, that's just less money churning through the economy, and that affects our unemployment rate, that affects all sorts of things, our housing prices and everything else. So it's a bigger problem for our country, really, to have this situation where students are drowning in debt. One of the other things that happens, there's a Princeton professor, Jesse Rothstein, who has talked about this. Because these loans are such a burden on our students, students will choose in graduation to go into higher paying jobs right out of college instead of so-called public service jobs, things like education or the nonprofit sector. It also reduces entrepreneurship because if you have these student loans in the back of your head, you're not going to sort of take a risk at the beginning of your career and go into a field and try to build something. And that hurts basically all of us. We lose that innovation. And if we lose these public service benefits and we have a more financialized economy and things like that, I don't think that's a good thing for society either.
David Dayan is a freelance writer. We read his article, Your Student Loan Isn't Really a Loan, in Salon.com. And David, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You can find a link to David's article and more proposals to relieve student loan debt burdens at wordofmouthradio.org. And we would love to hear about your experience with student loans. Has that fear of paying off student debt played a role in preventing you, or maybe a graduate you know, from taking creative and entrepreneurial risks? Is it worth the trade-off to graduate with loans if college would not have been affordable otherwise? Do you have a story about trying to refinance or pay off your own loans, or other impacts they've had on your life? Please share your student loan stories and ideas for solving what some analysts fear could become the next financial bubble. You can join that conversation. It's already taking place on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio. And coming up, Neanderthals get an upgrade. We have long cast our extinct cousins in a less than flattering light. We're going to hear from a science writer who's been following research that paints a very different portrait of the Neanderthal mind. That's when Word of Mouth continues.